What's going on, everybody? My name is Joe Orico, and I am the host of the Fantasy MLB Today podcast. The reason you guys are hearing this intro, which is slightly different than usual, is because this episode is going to be slightly different than usual. It is one part of the live show that I did today on Tuesday, August 2nd, as part of the Major League Baseball trade deadline coverage that we have going here at Sports Ethos. Broken down into 4 1-hour episodes, because the different panels were on for 1 hour each. You guys can listen to them here at your leisure or over on the Sports Ethos YouTube channel. Really appreciate you guys leaving a thumbs up over on YouTube, subscribing to the Sports Ethos YouTube channel, and of course, follow, download, subscribe, rate, all that good stuff here at Fantasy MLB Today. I'm over on Twitter at JoeOrico99. All of my fantasy baseball content goes out over there. I really recommend you guys follow everybody that you see listed down in the description for all of these episodes. Really some of the best minds amongst the baseball and fantasy baseball community. So without further ado, let's get started. We have the next group ready to join us. So without further ado, let's bring them all in here. Frank Stample, Michael Govier, Scott Chu, and Eric Cross. How are you guys doing, man? It's kind of a free-for-all. How has everybody's day been?
Busy.
Hey!
Why don't we start with you, Govier? Tell us about what you got going on, man.
No, we should start with Frank. Frank said something first, and I was rude and disrespectful, but I thought, you know, I was getting a little too kind in here, and you were getting your ego blown up a bit much. Joe, I want to take it down a notch. You're trash. This show is trash. Everything is trash. This deadline's trash, and everything sucks. How's that? Are we back to balance? Are we back to equilibrium?
That sounds about right. That sounds
okay.
Pretty close, Frank.
Yeah, let's hear what Frank's got to say. How you doing, Frank?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. It's been a very busy day. Obviously, Juan Soto news broke earlier in the day. I'm up late most nights, so I was honestly just kind of waking up like while that was all going down. So it was an awesome thing to wake up to, and a bunch more trades going on here as well. So happy to break it down. Happy to be here. A bunch of great guests that you got here, and I appreciate you having me on here, Joe.
Oh, it's great to finally meet you, man. I'm a big fan of what you do, and it should be a great time here. Hopefully, as we get into this last hour before the deadline, we have a lot of moves. I'm praying for a Shohei Ohtani trade. I'm not thinking it's too likely, but fingers are crossed. Speaking of crossed, Eric, how you doing, man?
Hey, good. How's everyone doing? I'm just sitting here in awe of the awesome shades that Mr. Scott Chu is wearing down there. Look at that nice little blue shade. Those are awesome. But yeah, it's been a fun day, and ready to break it all down with you fine gentlemen.
It should be a lot of fun. If you're watching on the podcast side, you should come over and check out the YouTube. Scott is definitely competing with Mike Curlin for outfit of the day here so far. Scott, how you doing?
I missed Curlin. What did he wear?
He had his bucket hat on with the Marlins hat on top, the shades. Yeah,
so at least he was dressed. That's a positive.
Yeah, but he was calling himself Florida Man. That is not what a real Florida Man looks like. It would be much more haggard and disgusting. He looked like an easygoing, hey, I'm a middle-class Florida guy. I want real Florida guy who's got a bag of meth in his pocket and is ready to fight alligators.
They got to have that, like, Florida Man eyes. Like
when yes! Exactly, oh, Scott. God. Yes.
That's how you know it's a real Florida man. Well, I'm doing great. I got my Super Mario 3 shirt on, these cool glasses you can see behind me over there, 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 there. I've got this like rainbow thing. I've got a bunch of colored glasses because instead of having a personality, I find it's just cooler to wear fun stuff and grow a mustache.
We have quite a wide representation here. We have CBS, we got some fan tracks, fantasy pros, pitcher list, Palazzo. We got a little bit of everything going on here.
Yeah, Palazzo right there with CBS, ESPN, RotoWire, the legends in the industry. That's right.
You are there, Govier. No question about it, man. Absolutely. You just went on quite the journey this last couple of days here. What did you drive, 26 hours all told?
That's more. It's like 30 hours. So stupid. 30-hour drive in a 4-day period. That's, you never go full 15-hour drives in a 3-day period. If you're going to drive 15 hours straight, you should be there for at least 7 to 10 days. This is just a little lesson for everybody. Don't make the same mistake I did. Don't end up like me. But yeah, I'm so glad to be here, though. So being through that drive, this makes this appearance that much more enjoyable and exciting. I got my co-manager, Eric Cross here, my Fantrax buddy. I got Frank, who I haven't seen since December. And I got Scott, who I've never been on a show with. And I was so glad that we're able to do this show together. Of course, Joe, my old pal, who I've been on your show, you've been on my show. Make sure you check out Joe's episode of the Plotso Pals when you get a chance after this trade deadline appearance.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys both from Michigan. You guys have been wanting to get connected, so finally yeah. Getting a chance here. Figured you Michigan guys all knew each other, but I guess not. Let's start off, I think, with the biggest news of the day. Someone mentioned it. Juan Soto. Is this what we were all pretty much expecting? Soto to the Padres for everybody? Frank?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think any prospect package was going to be worth Juan Soto, but this is probably the best that you could possibly do, right? I mean, you're getting really the four top prospects in the Padres organization, and I'll let Eric talk about those because obviously that's his area of expertise. But I thought that it was a really great return. Like, you don't want to trade Juan Soto, but if you're going to do it, at least you're getting a pretty massive package here. And look, from a fantasy perspective, it's like, okay, the value doesn't change. Like, Juan Soto, sure, I guess, like, counting stats could go up with the Padres, and it's a good thing for Josh Bell and everyone else who's there, like Manny Machado, and hopefully we see Fernando Tatis within the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I was a little skeptical. I didn't know if it was actually going to happen, but it did, and it was massive.
That initial report, the first tweet from John Morosi, it was like, that's it? You know, everybody was kind of thinking, there's got to be more to this. Every team could have competed with that initial report there, so it seemed kind of light. They added on quite a bit. Eric, you are the prospect guru. What is your thought on the return here for the Nationals?
Yeah, no, I kind of echo what Frank said. This is probably I don't think any trade return would have been like enough, quote unquote, for Juan Soto, but they did pretty damn good. Obviously, CJ Abrams has been like a top five, top 10 prospect for a handful of years now, elite upside. So that was a great get for them. Gore, who knows? Like, he went from being number one overall pitching prospect to having a couple years of struggles. Then he was dominant again earlier this year, and now he's kind of back to those command and control issues that he had back in 2021 or so. So I'm a little worried there, but obviously the talent is still very high. And then Robert Hassel and James Wood, those are two huge, huge prospect talents. I have Hassel top 10, James Wood not too far away. He's drawn some Willie McCovey comps, which I hate putting comps like that, but I can see it. He's 6'7", big power, good athlete as well, proving to be a much better hitter than I think anybody gave him credit for when the Padres drafted him last year. So, yeah, that's a huge, huge return there for the Nats. But again, Padres getting Bell and Soto there, great gift for them too. That makes that lineup so much better. And yeah, I love that Soto actually has a lineup around him now. You know, Machado, and then obviously Tatis, when and if he gets back. That's better than Josh Bell and the whatever the misfits that they had over there in Washington. So, yeah, I think it's just a great deal. A lot of value going up all the way around here.
It was announced in the last hour or so that it was going to be Luke Voit completing that trade going to Washington. Do you guys think that he's still someone who is going to have some fantasy value over there? Or what are you thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? I mean, if he's going to start and he gets to take cuts every day until one of his knees falls apart, sure, why not? He's a guy that has tremendous power. Still, his claim to fame is the 2020 season, the Bozo season, the 60-game season, which will, as time passes by, become less and less relevant. But that 22-homer performance he had, that's what he can do. I mean, that was incredible. And if he's depressed, though, because he's in Washington, he's taken away from a possible World Series run, maybe it'll affect his mental performance, and he'll check out. I mean, these are things we can't quantify. We don't know for sure. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But certainly he's worth rostering in probably a 12-teamer or deeper right now as a first baseman.
What do you think, Scott, first on the Soto trade, and then second, maybe what do you think about Luke Voit?
Yeah, I mean, I think they nailed it on the Soto trade. There is no fair trade, but if you have to trade him, and I think the Nationals had decided long ago they had to trade him once he turned down $500 million, this is what you can get. Like, there are very few teams in that really wanted to improve aggressively, right? Because you got the Padres, they do all this. They're still a ton of games behind the Dodgers, right? So they need to make a really big move, and they have a loaded system where they actually have the ammunition to make the Nationals think about it, right? Like, that was one of the biggest challenges is, sure, there's other contenders, but what are they going to give you without hurting their current major league team? The Padres were one of few teams, I think, that could do that and actually get something out of, even if they don't re-sign Soto, it doesn't matter. This is their window anyway, right? They've got him through all of that. So, I mean, I thought that was a great trade for them. And again, if you're the Nationals, There's never a fair trade. But if you felt you had to do it, you know, like a lot of fantasy managers feel right now, they feel they have to make a move. There are no fair moves for those guys, but you might get something, right? I'd never do this trade in fantasy because like, we just don't have the same considerations that real baseball does. Mm-hmm. But you know, I thought that was great. And then with Voit, I mean, to me, he's, you know, if you play in a league, you know, over at Pitcherlist, Nick likes to focus on that Yahoo standard format. I don't think you can roster Voit there because it's the two utility, no corner infield, no middle infield, only three outfielders. So I don't think he really makes the cut there. But once you start talking about like a normal format anywhere else where you got the five outfield, you've got a corner infield required, Luke Voit's a nice corner infield to have, I think. Like, injuries might press him to your first base, but he's probably your corner guy, and that's fine, right? Because you might have to replace him for any number of reasons. You know, he hurts something, he's not performing, but he's going to play every day for a team, and he's going to hit in the middle of the order, right? Like, if he was a catcher, he'd be like an instant number three catcher because he hits in the middle of the order, and there will be some people on base sometimes.
Absolutely.
There's a volume play there when he's healthy.
We got a question here from Dom. What do you guys think is the most impactful trade outside of the Soto deal today, Frank? What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm kind of wrestling with Tyler Mahle finally getting freed from Great American Ballpark. I know that, Eric, you for years have highlighted the home road splits there. So getting away from Cincinnati, I think, is fantastic for his value and probably bordering on a top 40 starting pitcher rest of season in Tyler Mahle. And then just the Jorge Lopez trade, the entirety of it, right? So going to Minnesota, hopefully there is a closer there because it seems like they kind of use Juan Duran. They've tried to use Emilio Pagan, who has been terrible this season. If Lopez could just slot in as the closer there, and then Felix Bautista just kind of takes over in Baltimore, now we have another closer for fantasy purposes. So Bautista's like widely available. If you need saves, go out and add him. Like, strikeouts ratios have been fantastic this season. But those are the ones that really kind of stand out to me. Mahle being freed from Cincinnati and Felix Bautista stepping in as the closer for Baltimore.
Mike, what about you? What's your biggest trade outside of Soto?
Well, first off, I want to say I've been pushing for the fact that there would be no deal, so I have to stand before the masses, this massive audience. If you guys want to roast me right now. I blew it. I was wrong. I was incorrect. I thought it was a bad move to trade Soto, but there's a difference between thinking it will not happen and thinking it's a bad call. And that's a lesson here for me, to remember that pressures exist. And I know that as well as anybody. I know how many powerful owners and possible replacement owners there will be in the new national situation post-trade deadline when they get sold. So I should have been more aware of that, and I was wrong. But outside of the Soto deal, the Mahle name was the first that came to mind as well, Frank. Going to Target Field on the surface seems like a big change from the most homer happy park there is in the Queen City of Cincinnati at Great American Ballpark. I think Tyler Mahle at Target Field is a big change. I also thought that Jorge Lopez might not get traded for Baltimore either, so I guess I'm really bad at deciding when these trades are going to happen or not. I thought that they would go in and stick to it, but I should have known better. The Orioles, even if they were 500 team and shocking everybody by being that for the first time in forever this late in the year, they were going to trade Jorge Lopez because Felix Bautista is the real deal. So outside of those deals, I think those are the most impactful. I don't think the David Robertson one is impactful because I think that's still a committee in Philly. I saw some tweets and some comments in my text threads in my fantasy league saying, oh, David Robertson time in Philly. I'm not so sure of that. He's in the mix, but don't be assuming David Robertson is the closer there because they got a lot of arms.
Eric, what do you think, man? What's the biggest trade today outside of Soto?
You mean outside of my Red Sox acquiring Eric Hosmer?
Hey, there it is.
Well, there's another question as well here. I guess it would be good to direct it towards you. Do you think that they're going to sell? Are the Red Sox in the next hour going to start trading away some big pieces here?
I wish I had an answer to that. I have no idea. The Red Sox, I don't even know if the Red Sox know what they're trying to do right now. Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Are they in the middle part there where it's kind of overlapping a little bit? We went out and got Tommy Pham, but traded away Christian Vasquez and then get Eric Hosmer. It's kind of a weird. So I still think JD Martinez gets dealt. I think he's the one that will. I think they'll probably be the biggest name. I thought, you know, about a week or so ago, I thought maybe Eovaldi, but I don't see that happening now. But I still think they trade off JD, but who knows? But yeah, Tyler Mahle getting out of Cincinnati, like those home road splits have been insane. On the road, outside of Great American Ballpark, he's been like top 25 or so pitcher for fantasy, And I'm not saying he's going to be that, but definitely if you're like in a 12 teamer, he's definitely like an SP3 now as opposed to like an SP4-5, which is what he was. 15 teamers.
It's great news for our team, Eric. Yeah. Yes,
absolutely. No, we just got Luis Garcia for San Diego, and then Josh Hader goes there. So, you know.
Well, we're not perfect.
You win some, you lose some, right? But another fun little trade that I think could have some implications on the road, the Angels and Phillies trade, Brandon Marsh for Logan Ohapi. You know, Marsh has that nice little power speed blend, but he's had huge strikeout issues in the major leagues, like 40%+ K rate. So maybe this is a fresh start for him. Philly's kind of been looking for that center fielder. Marsh can play center. That's fun. And Ohapi is very underrated in terms of catching prospects, having a nice breakout year. I saw him last year out in the Arizona Fall League. Very good, you know, all around catcher. So this is kind of a fun little deal for dynasty purposes.
Scott, is there one that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, something else about the Marsh trade, it opens up more regular playing time for someone like Joe Adele, who's really trying to prove himself again at the major league level. So that's one of the fun things about some of these like minor trades. It's not so much about the players that get traded. It's about the opportunities that they create for other players like that. Usually like, so a lot of, you're going to see a lot of like articles and tweets come out talking about the players traded, but like where there's a little bit of maybe fantasy juice to squeeze is like, oh, who looks like they might get that playing time boost now, because we're all focused on the big news, which is the names of the players traded. As far as like impactful, you know, I found out about it this morning, so I'll use it. I do think it's Josh Hader. You know, I still have little reason to believe he's not one of the two or three best relief pitchers on this planet. And, you know, they went from not really having a closer to having the best one, right? And we know late in games in the playoffs, that's what you're going to want. You need your guy that you can hand the ball to. It might not be in the ninth, but whenever that big moment comes, who do you want to give the ball to more than Josh Hader? Like maybe Edwin Diaz right now. And if you want to go with like experience, you can talk about like a Kenley Jansen or something, but Josh Hader is nasty, right? Like that stuff, it's disgusting what he throws. And, you know, out of the ninth inning, you feel pretty good when he steps in, despite the little bit of roughness this year and some home runs.
But why would the Brewers trade him, though? I know it seems bizarre to give up a guy who's so talented. I know he slipped recently, and he had that horrible outing in San Francisco around the All-Star break, but he's still as good as you're saying, Scott. So does it give you pause to say, whoa, why would a team that's in a playoff race, just like the Padres are, give up this closer?
I think the things I've heard, which were all about the raise he'll get in arbitration and how they're probably money pinching, and then looking at their own bullpen where Devin Williams, everything I say about Hader, like take 2% off the top, you might have Devin Williams, right? Like he's a really, really good reliever. So they probably thought, they're probably thinking a little bit like, they're probably thinking I can still make the wild card without Hader, because I think we can have Devin Williams step up like he has this season. And then I can save money, maybe make a splash in free agency if things don't work out this year, because I don't have to pay Hader. I think that's the only way you do it. It's a money move, and only because they have very strong bullpen pieces behind it.
They do know when to cut. They know when to bail quite often. I will give the Brewers credit on that. They're pretty good at pulling the plug at the right time.
It's true. It feels maybe a little bit premature on Josh Hader here. Is it? I don't know how lateral the move will end up being with Taylor Rogers, but just want to go through, I want to go through the Twitter feed here, just to see if we have any news. Xander Bogaerts said he questions the direction of the organization with the Vasquez move, said there are pieces leaving the organization, but none coming in. This is from Julian McWilliams, who's a beat writer. Trevor Rosenthal was traded to the Brewers. Apparently a Wilson Contreras deal is not likely at this time. And the Phillies have been in touch with Carlos Rodon, but the price is too high. That's pretty much what we have here in the last 10 or so minutes. Eric, do you agree? The Red Sox don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, I've long been I've long questioned Chaim Bloom and some of his moves he's made since he came on here as the GM or president of baseball operations, whatever his official title is. But yeah, so I just don't know. Like obviously, with Boston being a big market team and having one of the highest payrolls year in, year out, you know, obviously the mindset is deep postseason runs, potential World Series caliber teams every year. And while I'm not saying any of these deals are bad on the surface, it just makes you scratch your head a little bit. Like, what are we doing with Eric Hosmer? Is he an upgrade from, you know, Bobby Dalbec and Franchi? Yeah, probably. But we also have Tristan Casas waiting in the wings, almost ready in AAA. It's just kind of like one of those, like, how does it fit into the big picture long-term type of trades? So, yeah, I'm kind of scratching my head here. I agree with Xander Foley. I wasn't surprised Vasquez was dealt. I kind of, you know, thought that was going to happen anyway. There was a lot of rumors around us dealing him. But Yeah, I'm just not sure what they're trying to do here, you know, moving forward.
It's kind of the roster management. The roster management with Garrett Whitlock and Tanner Houck and taking them in and out of closer roles, starter roles, reliever roles, right? Like, who's pulling the cords here? Who is it? Is it Cora? Yeah, is it Bloom? What the hell's going on there?
Who's the puppet master there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Govier, I think you and I probably talked about this before. It's like, Houck and Whitlock are very talented arms, and I still don't know what role they're best suited for, but just put them in a role and leave them there, whether you want them starting back into the bullpen. It's like they keep jerking them around too much. And it's been a very frustrating season for the Red Sox. Very up and down, very frustrating.
Apparently there's a couple prospects going to Boston along with Eric Hosmer as well. Haven't heard word on who it is, but I heard not many rumor, prospects left.
I heard a rumor it was Max Ferguson and Corey Rozier. Max Ferguson has about 4,000 steals, but it was in low A, and he's a speed-only guy for the most part. And Rozier is a solid, you know, athlete, good power speed guy. Who knows if the hit tool will be there. So there's some intrigue there, especially with Rozier, but the move is still kind of weird.
The Pirates have been a little bit quiet today. Do you guys think David Bednar will end up getting moved here in the next hour?
No!
I came into the day thinking so, but yeah, at this point, probably would have happened if it's going to happen.
Frank, what do you think about Bednar?
I think he's awesome. I don't think he's going to be moved. I know he's got a couple more years of control. Like they can maximize their return right now by trading him, but we really haven't heard much about it. I like the preemptive ad of De Los Santos. If they were going to make a move, I think he would be the next man up for the Pirates. But ultimately, I don't think that David Bednar will be moved.
Govia, you agree there?
Hell yeah! Frank knows exactly what he speaks of. He said it well. They never really plan to deal him, in my view, based on what we know about the time he still has left, how talented he is, and what's going on there, too. I think, you know, there's one thing to trade a Kevin Newman or maybe somebody else who hits the road, but I think some of these parts that are legitimate pieces on a team that don't need to be moved right now can stay. They got a lot of fun pieces. So I've been wrong on a lot of this stuff. So what the hell does Mike Govier know? Sometimes it's very little, but I feel good and I've stayed on this course, so I'm going to lock it in. I don't think Bednar goes anywhere.
Do you think your Tigers are going to make any other moves today? You and Scott, you think maybe I heard rumored that maybe they just move on from Javi Baez if someone will take him today. I heard a couple people talking about
that. No way. No one will take that, Scott, right? Would anyone take? Why?
Yeah, for what purpose? Right? Like if you think about the teams in contention, who needs what Javi Baez offers? Right? Like they just don't.
Outside like of defense, I mean, that's it. Yeah.
And the defense comes with throwing errors, right? He's really struggled with throwing errors, especially recently. It's just a certain type of throw. I was listening to Dan Dickerson talk about it. It's just where he plants his foot and he throws and he's missing bad, right? So he's really difficult to trade. Like I mentioned in the comments on the set before this, like I can't believe they got anything for Robbie Grossman. Right, like the big problem the Tigers had, and I mentioned this when they talked about, oh, Scooble's available. That's just to get other teams on the phone. Right?
Yes.
Like they don't have anything to offer right now that's like that clear example right now. Like as far as David Bednar, I bet the Pirates are betting on Bednar to continue to be good and get more next year because he's ARB eligible in 2024, and then he's not a free agent until like 2027. So, yeah, sure, that's probably not even in the Pirates window because I have no faith in that organization, but – It's still something where they can just wait and they, you know, bet on Bednar to be good, continue to be good. And then next year they can say, he's not just a 1 year wonder. He's like a, you know, 2-3 year wonder. So, you know, offer me a little more.
Still expecting a Tigers deal, by the way, for a couple of relievers. Hopefully it could happen here before the deadline hits.
Yeah. Gregory Soto and Jimenez, I think are, well, probably should
be. Fulmer should totally be on the move.
Fulmer. Yeah. A couple of little pieces of what could possibly be news here over the next half hour. Syndergaard is down to Jays and Phillies, according to John Morosi. And Joel Sherman says that the Mets are throwing around Ronnie Mauricio in packages with 40 minutes to go. I'm not sure. It doesn't say who they're trying to acquire here, but I don't know.
That would probably be JD Martinez or Contreras, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. But the previous report was that, John Heyman said they don't see Contreras as likely at this point. So maybe JD Martinez is where they end up going with that. Not really sure here. Pretty quiet over the last little while. Nothing really major since this morning, really. It's been a little bit of
the final showdown.
Yeah, I think as we hit 6 o'clock and maybe in the few minutes after, we'll hear things announced. But fairly slow afternoon, I think, comparatively speaking. I remember
one thing I want to add to that Tigers reliever stuff. I was betting on some of their relievers getting moved, and It's a fantasy pickup for everybody out there. Alex Lange to maybe slide into the closer role if a couple relievers get moved for rest of season. It's a sneaky play. Not a guarantee, but if he does get the role, I like his stuff. I think Scott would agree. Alex Lange is one of their better relievers.
Yeah, I think that's what they'll go with if they don't just try to like mix and match or something. It just depends on, you know, really, I thought they were going to move both Soto and Fulmer. If either one of them stays, they're the closer, right? If they both stay, it's still Soto and nothing changes. But, you know, really what I was watching for with the Tigers specifically is if they do, you know, make another trade already with the trade of Grossman, that gives my dude Akil Baddoo, who's not playing well this year by any stretch. He did well. He was pretty good in AAA for a while. He's not performing at the major league level, but he might play more than twice a week now because there's a spot. I mean, that was the big thing for the Tigers is what else do it's not just so much what they give up. They've got a couple pieces that we know what they are, right? Soto, Fulmer, that's probably it right now in terms of attractive pieces, unless someone wants to pick up Haas for, you know, their backup catcher, right? And all they can really get from it is either like a 19-year-old pitcher, a 26-year-old pitcher in AAA, or like a prospect that's, you know, super, super raw. In years away. Like that's all they're going to get. And so, I mean, maybe they hold Soto, but again, the Tigers are in a weird spot where I almost wonder if Avila just doesn't want to get criticized anymore and have fire turned up anymore. Where if you just look at the returns he's gotten on the veterans he's dealt, they're not good. Right. Like you look at what he got back for. I mean, you traded JV, JD, all these guys, and they got nothing. For they got Castellanos. And what do they have to show for it? Jamer Candelario? Right. Like that's about what they have. So
don't forget Alfredo Simon for Eugenio Suarez. What a legendary trade that was. Good God.
Monster, baby. No. But like that's the thing. So I almost wonder if he's a little gun shy because he's not doing well in those trades.
Hold on. We have something here. Anything big? Ooh. The Mariners are acquiring Jake Lamb from the Dodgers.
Yeah! Woo!
Woo-hoo! Remember when Joey Jake Gallo Lamb was a thing? Like, there was one year where everyone's like, ooh, Jake Arizona. Lamb is good late round pick, and then nothing happened.
I think he had a good year in Arizona there, like a pretty solid year.
I want to see Frank jump off a boat because of this trade. That's what I want to see.
That was embarrassing, man. How bad was that, Govier?
It's beautiful. Oh, my God. You were so sexy. Get out of here. Come on,
I tried to do a flip, and I just kind of like flailed, and it didn't work.
That's you look good doing it.
I think maybe before we get into like more trades coming in here in the next few minutes, I want to know what you guys think of DeGrom. And I know if he's going to be healthy, it's not really much of a question. He's going to be top five. I think the question should be, do you think he'll stay healthy? Frank, let's start with you. Do you think that DeGrom, when he comes back, will be able to stay on the mound?
Yeah, this is like the million-dollar question right now. It's nearly impossible to answer, but most people won't want to hear this. I really don't have a good feeling about it. I'm rooting for him to stay healthy. Baseball is much better when Jacob DeGrom pitches. When he's healthy, he is the best pitcher on the planet. There is no doubt about that, but everything is added up over time. You know, throwing 100 miles per hour, 93 mile per hour sliders. I mean, it's really just added up. And even recently when he was kind of rehabbing, he was dealing with a shoulder injury. I saw something recently, like a foot or some kind of leg injury while he was rehabbing as well. And it's just like one thing after another right now. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that he could stay healthy. You know, maybe if you play in a league where like your trade deadline hasn't passed yet, like if he puts together a good start or two to try and flip him for anyone that's healthy right now. But I really personally don't have a good feeling about it.
What about you, Govia? You think that we'll see DeGrom pitch maybe 8-9 times, or is this going to be one or twice and done?
Wow.
I think those are the options. I think those are the options. So either go out there. I think he'll either go out there and sustain it or go out there and get hurt.
I'm trying to stretch for time here. Vamp, as they used to say. When I work behind the scenes at television news, they do this. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. What else can you say about the situation? It's just, you know, we could do the rest of the show about pitchers, injuries, when they come back. I think I have a handle on it, and then I don't. Look, at Jesus Luzardo, when he goes on the IL in May, and I drafted him heavily, I'm like, oh boy, I don't think he's coming back this year. Forearm strain, prelude to a nightmare. But there he is. He goes 5 innings yesterday, and he strikes out 5, and he looks pretty good. Then Jack Flaherty's got injury. He comes back, and I was like, oh, Jack Flaherty will never do anything, and he's not been healthy. He wasn't healthy. Sometimes it looks obvious, and sometimes you just don't really know. What's going to happen to Freddy Peralta this week? He's coming back off an injury. Will he be his old self? The shoulder good? He's ready to rock? Or is he going to fall to pushing himself too soon because the Brewers want to make a playoff push? Or do they know that he's healthy? I have been erring more on the side of caution with starting pitchers who have injuries. And I got to admit, there's Dave McDonald, you know, Dr. Dave has gotten in my head the last couple of years. And I got to push him out a little bit because it's worth taking a few more risks here and there. But you don't want to get burned so badly where you're spending huge fab bucks for pitchers who are coming back from injury like DeGrom. DeGrom's, of course, worth it. He wouldn't be on your wire. He's going to be drafted and always will be drafted and kept until he comes back. But if you want me to answer it, I expect that something will happen. The only possible scenario where this goes well is they did rest him for a long time this year, and maybe they're like, okay, instead of having him pitch 92 innings in the first half of the season where he's so dominant like he did last year, let's just sit him for the first half of the year, and maybe we'll get 90 dominant innings in the second half and then through a playoff push. That's the only way this works out, and I would say the chances are 40% of less that it actually goes well for him.
Scott, I know this is kind of a hard question, but I feel like everybody's always talking about DeGrom and will he be, you know, top five. It's like he will be top five. I think it's better to frame it like this. Do you think that he'll be able to stay on the field?
So my concern is less about like some kind of actual injury because I'm not a doctor. I don't know, right? But I do know this. I know that the Mets are probably going to have the biggest kid gloves on the planet when it comes to, I mean, if this guy has like an itch on his nostril, they'll skip his start. Right. Like they will not let any unless it's less that I think that he could be re-injured because I don't know his, you know, I don't know his, you know, every single little thing going on in his shoulder and his elbow and whatever. But I do know that if the Mets like don't like, you know, if he looks like he's walking a little funny, like they're just going to sit him because they've been able to get a nice lead on their division. They're able to compete without him. And that's been huge for them, right? That was their, once he got hurt, the big question was, can they do this without him? And they have. So I think every chance they get, they're going to sit him. They're not going to let him get hurt because they want him for, you know, they want him for October. They don't care about August, September, because I'm pretty sure they think they can win the division without him. So I'm less concerned about like actual injury, trying to predict that, and more just there's only so much you can rely on him to boost your team. If you're looking at your trade deadline and you're thinking, well, I don't need a pitcher because I'm getting Jake DeGrom, I think that's the wrong play. You've got to get some more. If you need that pitching, you've got to find more security there because even if he doesn't get hurt, the Mets might just bench him, right? They might just say, you know, you haven't pitched a lot the last few years. How about you skip this one? We don't need you for this one, right? Like, I think that's going to happen. You know, it's the Nats. Don't worry about it, bud. Sit down. You're fine.
He's stubborn as hell, though, Scott. I've heard, you know, the stories are legendary about DeGrom is really, really dedicated to pitching, and maybe he's finally changed a little bit, but I want to see it first before I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. They've got him and Scherzer at the same time, and, like, Scherzer will punch a guy before he gets off that mound if he doesn't want to leave, right?
That's the reason with David Peterson. Sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, like, you know, I know that there's that in them, but, you know, I wonder if the Mets will find other ways to kind of limit his action, like every chance they get, where if they think they can talk him off the mound, they'll probably do it.
I thought the best way they could have done that is with David Peterson. I thought he was going to be the sixth guy there. They were going to give everybody else a little bit, you know, one extra day. And then I added David Peterson everywhere, so it's a bit of a sore spot with me there. It's really just what a difference a couple weeks can make, right? He shot up strikeout numbers, and he was looking like could be someone who could help win you your leagues, and now he's pitching in AAA. Eric, are you thinking that we'll see DeGrom? Well, he should be successful tonight regardless because it's this ghost of the Nationals team. Would you be trying to sell him after his supposed good performance, what we're going to see tonight, and then just, you know, get whatever you can back for him before the worst inevitably happens?
Yeah, no, I think I would. But watch him go up like 5 earned in 4 innings tonight or something ridiculous. Same thing I said when like Lance Lynn came back. I'm like, oh, Lance Lynn's got, no offense, Govier. Lance Lynn has the Tigers in his first start, and he gave up like 7 earned in 5 innings or something like that. That's how baseball works, right? But
no offense. We are is offended around here. It's okay. It's fine.
It's very, very true. Yeah, I think that the Mets are gonna do like everything conceivable to limit his innings in terms of like limiting his pitch count and start. I don't think you'll see him go like 6 or 7 very often, skip a start here and there, push him back. I think Peterson will be back at some point to make it a 6-man rotation, or if, you know, there's another injury, which there probably will be. So I think, yeah, they're gonna do a combination of all that. They have about 60 games left in the season there. So that equates to about, you know, 12 or so starts. Hypothetically, I don't see him going more than like 45, 50 innings rest of the way. Cause like you said, they need him in October. They have a 3.5-game lead on Atlanta right now. Then it's a big drop down to the Phillies, 10 games back. At the worst, the Mets are a wild card team. Probably do win the division, though. Atlanta is right there and playing very well as well. So, yeah, I think they'll – I think you can count on him for – if he gets to the first two starts, I'll feel a lot better. But this does have kind of Chris Sale, Jack Flaherty kind of written all over it, where, like, he could just have first start, third inning, he's cruising, all of a sudden throws a slider and you see him grab his elbow or something. Yeah, so –
quick grabbing to Chris Sale, though. I know Chris Sale's had an injury streak here for sure, but that was, I mean, that was unfortunate. It really was.
It was, yeah, but I don't know. I don't have confidence he'd still be on the mound even if that didn't happen. You know,
it's right. I know. See, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, and that's fair. That is fair, but it was, okay. All right, forget it. I don't even care.
We're within half an hour now and still nothing.
Huge deal, happened. Joe, huge deal. What do you mean? Are you kidding me?
What happened? Did I miss something?
We got Brett Phillips on the move, baby. It's going down.
Did someone actually sign him? I hope someone signed
him. People said the Orioles were sellers, and I said, hold the phone. Brett Phillips is now a member of the Baltimore Orioles. As far as I can tell, it's official.
That's good. I feel, you know, I saw his little video that he made. He's just classy, man. He's just like, it's hard not to like
Brett Phillips. He's awesome. Any team, every team needs a Brett Phillips.
He's a two-way player, right? You're getting a pitcher and a position player for Brett Phillips. So, I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't you go for it? Right?
Shohei Ohtani who? Like Brett Phillips. Maybe.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so reading on this update, I missed this trade, and I know it's not proper of me. I should be up on every trade at all times. I apologize for this. I just got back from Georgia, but Jose Siri got picked up by the Rays. That's a fun move. I'm going to throw that out there as a fun move because I liked him, and I wanted to get him out of Houston. So just a quick note, Jose Siri, great. I'm excited for you.
There was a three-way trade there. I forget. Was that the Mancini trade? Or?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So, hey, that's exciting. But, yeah.
And Baltimore got a couple of good pitching prospects in Seth Johnson and Chase McDermott. McDermott's got really good stuff. So, with Baltimore's good player development team there, those are two fun names to watch out for in the future.
Is Baltimore the number one system, you think, right now? Best system in baseball?
I don't know about number one. I think they're absolutely top 10 and probably top 5. Like that's, you know, they get a lot of the old Houston guys in that org now. They've drafted well. They've made some trades to get some guys. They've done well in the international market. Yeah, they're very good, especially on the hitting side of things. But, you know, both sides, they're very good top to bottom. So, yeah, it's a very good org.
Seeing now, Pablo Lopez being linked to the Yankees here in the final stretch. Now, according to John Heyman,
thought he might go to Baltimore, too. Yeah, maybe that would happen.
But Pablo Lopez?
There was some talk. Yeah, seriously. Because they could lock him in.
The Yankees will get him without giving up any of their top prospects. I don't know how the Yankees keep making these trades and not giving up like literally any. You know, Waldichuk is fine. Wesnesky, they're good prospects, but they've held on to like that top little like top tier of their farm system. And I don't know how they keep doing it, but they'll probably get him for like some mid-level guys. And
well, they got torched on that Gallo deal last year. If you look at what Duran and Josh Smith are now and what they might be, I'm not saying you're right. They've held on to their studs. No argument, but
right. Yeah. Those are solid guys. Again, kind of in that same range as like Wesnesky and Waldichuk for sure.
Yeah.
Is there one trade you guys are thinking is going to happen here in the next half an hour or so? Something you're expecting to happen?
I think Rodon gets dealt. I know that the asking price is high, but I think San Fran, like the writing should be on the wall that they're not going to compete with the Dodgers and Padres this year. It was great last year. It was a great run. It was a really fun team last year. Just not happening this year for them. And I think it'd be wise for them to trade because Rodon's another guy we know, like another guy that could, you know, get injured. Anybody can get injured anytime, of course, but he's one of those guys that has the elevated injury risk due to his track record there. So I think if they cash out now, he's pitching very well, get a lot of strikeouts. Phillies would be a good spot. Who knows? Maybe Yankees get in. I think our Toronto in the mix as well. So yeah, I think Rodon gets dealt in the next 20 minutes, but we'll see.
He's got that opt out after this year as well, which I'm assuming he'll do if the Giants don't, you know, improve at all, which is looking doubtful at this point. Wilson Contreras, you guys think we'll see something happen here? I don't think it'll be the Mets based on what I'm reading, but I don't see any reason why the Cubs would want to hold on to him at this point. What about you, Frank? Do you think Wilson Contreras gets moved in the next 20 minutes or so?
I think he should. Will he? I you know, coming into the deadline, I thought he was like the most likely candidate to be traded, and here we are.
Yeah. 20 minutes left, and
he's the only one who hasn't been traded yet. So I'll go out there and say, yeah, I think he does get traded. I don't know where. I mean, obviously, Houston doesn't need a catcher anymore. I know Tampa Bay was kind of linked to him.
San Diego.
It still kind of feels like the Mets need him. So I don't really know what the holdup is there, but that makes a ton of sense for me. And I think JD Martinez, too, is just another name there. It's like I don't really talked a lot about it. I don't know what the direction is for the Red Sox, but obviously, you know, entering free agency, half a year left, like, why wouldn't you try and get something for JD Martinez now while you can? So I think Martinez and Contreras are the most likely to.
You agree there, Govier? You got another name in mind?
I could still look like a fool here, but Nelson Cruz? Was he traded yet? Did I miss this?
I'm surprised he hasn't retired yet today. I'm surprised.
He's like, I'm done. I'm just done.
Yeah. They said in the offseason they're going to be adding pieces around the Nationals to compete this year. It's great.
Yeah. Well, they did. They added five pieces for Juan Soto. Hey-o! No, but Nelson Cruz is a great bet that you want to have for a stretch run here. I would throw his name out. I'm still wondering, would anybody want Mark Melancon for any reason?
There was something I saw, some brutal stat this morning. I forget what it was. Was it like he got his 10th loss or something last night or...
There are no objective facts that make teams stop having Melancon as their closer. Every time he's on a team, he's a closer over a pitcher that's almost clearly better than him, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what team he's on. I don't know what kind of dirt he gets on every manager he's ever had, but that guy can't leave the closing job to save his life.
Just like Ian Kennedy. That was the same thing for him for a long time, too.
Yeah, I thought the universe was going to explode when they both joined the same team there this season. But here we are, I guess.
Can't both close. Well, actually, yeah, you can. But
yeah, those are some guys I would think of. I still wonder if there's some smaller pieces. But bigger pieces-wise, I think that's a lot of the big names. I wondered if things got a little bit crowded for Seattle. Would they move an outfielder out of there? Or are they – because it seems like they have a lot of parts there. But do they just want to have all hands on deck to finally get to the playoffs this year? I would see that being a reality as well.
Yeah, Brett Phillips, the move is official, going to Baltimore. I love it. I'm glad that he got on somewhere.
I'm happy for Orioles fans because they've had a heck of a fun season, and their reward for it was seeing their players get traded, right? And watch ownership fold. I'm sure there's a smart business decision in there somewhere, but I don't care. I'm a baseball fan, right? I'm not the one that has to write the checks for them. So, you know, it stinks. At least they get somebody fun. Right. They get somebody fun. They get someone I think that community is going to really like after losing another very stand up guy in Trey Mancini. Right. Like one of the easiest guys to root for, like cancer survivor. At least they've got somebody fun. And like Alex Fast won't cry himself to sleep entirely. Right. He's got something to hold on to this day. And I'm happy for him.
And I want to see the D-backs. I don't. Eric can speak to this possible Corbin Carroll appearance this year if they could open up more outfield room in Arizona. I was hoping they would move a couple more players besides David Peralta.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. I still think it happens. I know Chris Welsh thinks it's going to happen as well, and he's out there in Diamondback.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, okay. I think he said that he'd be shocked if he's not up by September 1st. Take that photo. Welsh is obviously one of the most knowledgeable guys out there. Love yep. Welsh, and I would love to see that happen. Obviously, Corbin Carroll has Trey Turner type upside. He's got the huge power speed combination. 25 homers, 30 plus DLs, high average, high OBP. He's a top of the order guy. So that would be a really, really fun call up late in the season if that were to happen. Do I think it will? I'll say 40%. I'm not quite as confident as Welsh is, but we'll see. We'll see what Arizona does in the next 20 minutes here.
That outfield of the future is going to be Carroll, Jones, and Thomas. That's pretty solid.
That is very solid.
It's looking okay.
It's all right.
Nothing announced. I was thinking these last few minutes here, we were going to see a bunch of stuff happen, and maybe it'll happen like just after 6 o'clock when paperwork's been filed, but they haven't actually had time to call Jeff Passan yet and tell him to get the news out there. Anything else really that has struck you guys today in terms of maybe even a smaller deal, something you think will have a lot of impact either in the real world or in fantasy? Something maybe that's not the flashiest move, but something you think will be really impactful down the stretch?
Man, I really thought the Phillies were going to make some more moves in this. They've got a big glut in their middle infield right now. They picked up Edmundo Sosa to add to their middle infield for no particular reason because they've got Stott and Gregorius right now. They've also got Gene Segura coming back soon. They've got a ton of these left-handed bats and no reason to keep them all. They could really use a pitcher, like a number five pitcher. I don't think they really have one. I mean, they've got Kyle Gibson, but other than that, they could really use some depth there. They could use some bullpen depth. They could use a lot of things, and they have pieces to give. I just think it's weird that they just haven't. I wonder if they're just deciding we'll try next year or something.
Yeah, I don't think Brandon Marsh is where it's going to stop there. I thought they were going to go for Ramon Laureano. That's who I was thinking they were going to attempt to put in center field there. But what about you, Eric? Anything that's kind of flown under the radar that you really like today?
No, not really. Outside of that Marsh deal, I'm just really surprised that St. Louis hasn't done really anything. Obviously, they're in the Soto rumors this morning with not wanting to give up Carlson plus prospects. So I'm surprised they haven't gone out there and still gotten that bat they were looking for, maybe another arm. I'll be surprised. I could see JD Martinez going to St. Louis, and that might be a decent fit, but I'm surprised they haven't done anything. I thought obviously you can't counter a Juan Soto move, but getting something, because obviously they're one of the better teams in the National League, just to try to add that the deadline and make it look like, all right, we're trying to keep pace with San Diego and Dodgers and the Mets and the Braves and make a deep postseason run here. So I'm kind of shocked that they've been pretty quiet today after the Soto rumors.
Just want to remind everybody once again to follow everybody that you see here, like the show on YouTube, go subscribe to my show, which this will be a part of that podcast. It's probably bonus episodes throughout this week. We do have official news, I think, here on the Hosmer deal. The prospects are Max Ferguson and Corey Rozier, which you pegged that, right? You
called it. Booyah! Yeah, Aaron Cross, full credit.
I saw some Red Sox people chirping about it. Like I said, some intrigue there. I still don't get the trade in general. Like,
I love intrigue.
And we also sent Jay Groom over, who was once a heralded pitching prospect who I've seen multiple times this year. He's not good. He's number five starter, is like his ceiling. He's probably more like an org depth swing man, long relief type of guy. His fastball is like 89, 90, not great shape to it. Curveball is solid, changeup's okay. He's just not good. So I'm not mad at all that we got rid of Jake Room in this.
Got a little bit of breaking news. I'm going to throw it to Frank here because he's due here. Michael Fulmer to the Twins. Initial reaction.
Hey!
Yeah, maybe this is more of a Govier question because obviously his Tigers, I don't think it really moves.
And any- Scott's.
Scott's, that's true. I don't think it moves the needle much for fantasy at all. It obviously helps the Minnesota Twins. I think Jorge Lopez makes the most sense still to close for the Minnesota Twins, but definitely helps with like a seventh inning, I would imagine. Maybe Duran is just kind of like that fireman. Whenever highest leverage comes up, they'll use him. But yeah, I think it's a good depth piece for the Minnesota Twins bullpen.
What about the Detroit folks here? I'll start with you, Govier.
Well, yeah, Michael Fulmer, I've been asking for him to be dealt. This should be dealt. He was dealt, and that's it. There you go. End of story. Scott, over to you.
I mean, there's a lot of righties in that bullpen for the Twins, but not a lot. Like, other than their, they have their closer and they have their setup man, and then they have just a bunch of dude, like just a bunch of guys that are real inconsistent or, not well proven. So I think they really feel like they can, use Michael Fulmer as that, that one extra guy. If our pitcher doesn't go, if he only goes six, we need someone for the seventh. And I think you're right. It's probably Michael Fulmer. And they can do that. It gives them a little bit more flexibility. Bullpen was probably one of the weaker parts on this team. So that works, I guess. But I also agree with Frank. It doesn't move the needle much. It's like the one place he was going to go that, like, Fulmer probably wasn't going to be a closer anywhere except Detroit if they traded Soto. So if you've been speculating on Fulmer, you could probably let him go unless you're in a very, very deep holds league, because even in shallow ones, there's better options. But I mean, I like Fulmer. It's just he's not going to play a fantasy relevant role for the Minnesota Twins.
He's better than Pagan, though, man. I'll lock that in. Emilio Pagan is not built for the closer role. Me and Eric learned this one the hard way very early in the season. We did draft him. It was a flyer pick, really.
And I think it was our last round pick, if I recall.
It was super deep. Who cares? And then somebody paid like triple digits for him after we dropped him because he came into the closer's role and did get some saves in our tag team league. But in the end, he has imploded every opportunity he's had to close, whether San Diego, Tampa, Minnesota. He just doesn't seem... He gives up too many bombs. Forget if it's a mental thing. He gives up too many dongs, and we need less dongs when you're a closer.
The return for Fulmer is Sawyer Gibson Long. Is this someone you got on your radar there, Eric?
I'll be
is
honest.
Is that his full name?
I have no idea who that is. I'll be honest. I don't know who that is.
Gibson.
Is he a serial killer? What the hell? Why does he have three?
If Eric hasn't heard of him, I doubt he's going to be fantasy relevant here in the next 10, 15 years or so.
What a shocker! Al Avila did not get someone even on the radar of prospect gurus who know every team from like 30 players deep in their farm system.
He's got a, let's see, this year, 4.23 ERA between high A and double A, but double A, he has a 7.17 ERA through 37 and two-thirds innings. He was a sixth-round pick out of Mercer back in 2019, 6'4 righty, so... He's 24 and a half and struggling in double A. I don't know. It's probably just a name, just a throwback there.
That's essentially just, you might as well DFA'd him and let someone else pick him up at that point. Like, I mean, he's been a little bit better in, 199 ERA in high A, but like, nuts.
Exactly the kind of thing you can get for a short-term right-handed reliever. I mean, that's just like, there's just not a lot to get for that kind of asset. So this is what you get. You get a potential spot starter, right?
Like, yep.
He's probably a, you know,
Kyle Funkhauser.
I was going to say, I'm not comping him to Kyle Funkhauser, but that role, that's this guy's upside. That's what
he is.
That's
hilarious.
Right? Yep, he's a spot starter. He might be a long reliever, but that's it. Right. So, but I mean, at least they got something. Like, you know, maybe they like, oh, we had a pitch, and then he becomes more like a, like, I don't see any upside here possible, like better than like a fifth guy, but a fifth guy is, you know, probably more useful to you than Michael Fulmer for another couple of months.
I will say Chris Fetter, I trust. There's their pitching coach. He is outstanding. I think he's very underrated. So if anybody could get anything out of anybody, it is the Tigers pitching coach, Chris Fetter, believe it or not.
Do you guys think anything's going to happen with Tarik Skubal here at the last minute?
Hell no. No.
Ooh,
it got, better not, because I'm staring at about $600 worth of Tarik Skubal autograph cards. And that's not really something I'm ready to part with.
Apparently the Phillies are close on Syndergaard.
Great. Good for them.
Rosenthal.
How many steals will Ronald Acuna have when he starts a game? One game? Four?
A lot.
What's the record?
Yeah, seriously, what is the record for most steals in a game? That's a good question.
I think it was against the Red Sox. I remember us giving up like five steals to
John Lester? Was it John Lester?
It probably was, because Lester has the worst pickoff move I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was a strange thing. It was.
I think it was against Tampa Bay like 10, 12 years ago. I'd have to look it up, but.
Ooh. I wanted to, Joe, not to hijack the show from you, but you were continuing back to a point you were talking about earlier. What are we still expecting here? We got 11 minutes to go. When's the Sean Murphy deal? It seems like that was almost a guarantee that Sean Murphy would be moved. Is that going to happen?
Laureano as well. I thought they would both be gone by now.
I felt less confident about Laureano, like maybe they would hold him another year. I don't have good reasoning for that. It's just my gut was telling me that. But Murphy, I thought, was ready to go because they drafted another catcher, I believed, in this year's draft, right, Eric? Not that he'll be ready to go, but they've got Langoliers, they've got Soderstrom in the pipeline. Murphy seems like an expendable option, and you should make that deal. Also, Ian Happ of the Cubs. What the hell are the Cubs doing here? Do the Cubs think that they had a bad year and that they're going to bounce back and compete in 2023, so they kind of want to keep this thing going? It's kind of bizarre to me what the thought process is there. It's not as bizarre as the Red Sox or the Tigers, my bozo Tigers, but I would be wondering what's going on there. And then lastly, the Jays. What are the Blue Jays doing? They need another pitching piece, and I think they need to switch up their bench. I will give the Mets credit. I know it looks like they're not great deals, but I think that the Tyler Naquin deal was a great call, because though it hurts us for fantasy because we wanted Naquin to have a fun second half at Great American Ballpark where he'd hit a bunch of bombs, but he will, and I can see it now, playoffs, he has like a series MVP series. He's that kind of guy. He could go on a streak. We're like, hey, NLCS MVP, Tyler Naquin, he did it. That was why we made this deal. I can see that happening. So those are smart deals. They're not fun for fantasy, but for real-life baseball, I commend the Mets on the trade like that. So.
They also swapped Darren Ruff for J.D. Davis earlier. I'm not sure how significant
exactly.
That really is.
That's another thing. These are little deals. I think Buck Showalter's been around, and I think he's advising a little bit. He's like, hey, you know what was really bad? I made a huge mistake that time in Toronto with that thing you heard about with Zach Britton. Oh, I learned a lot from my experiences. Let's go this route.
The Jays have surprised me, though. The Jays have done – well, they brought in Bass, but like, I was sure they were going to add a left-handed bat. I'm sure they were going to add a starter. And it might be Syndergaard, but if they miss out on Syndergaard, then there's not really anybody else in that price range. You know, you don't really go from missing Syndergaard – at the 11th hour to go in for Pablo Lopez or Carlos Rodon. So,
not too I don't want Syndergaard in the AL East as a fantasy manager at all.
I don't want him back as a Jays fan. I think, you know, he had his time here, which was about 5 seconds, and that's all we need at this point. Because what are we going to really get here? Oh, and here we go. As I say it, Phillies are finalizing a deal to acquire Noah Syndergaard from the Angels. There you go. Perfect. Apparently, the Dodgers sent Mitch White to the Jays.
Oh, boy. What's the deal there? What do we got? Give me something.
I haven't seen that. Let me take a look here. That's very
I haven't seen that either.
That's very interesting. But
well, this is your leader here, the chat leader, right? He knows what he's talking about, I would assume.
It'll be coming from Dan Bespris, who hosts our basketball show, but he is a Dodger fan and LA native. Yep, here it is. Underdog MLB, Mitch White to be traded to the Blue Jays. Not sure on a return yet, but I like it. I mean, it's just pitching
minor
depth.
League pitchers. Robert Murray's tweeting that the Blue Jays acquiring Mitchell White for minor league pitchers. So
minor league pitchers. All right.
Pretty vague. I almost wonder if it's Nate Pearson. But
dude, I was just thinking that same thing, Scott. It's kind of funny. Just give him a fresh start in a new organization.
It'd be a hell of a sell low.
An organization that knows how to deal with injury-prone pitchers, you know, for better or worse. Oh, right? Just trade real injuries for Dodgeritis, and they'll be fine.
Mickey Moniak and another piece there will be returning to the Angels.
Oh, good fourth outfielder, yeah. Mickey Moniak.
Kind of strange. Yeah. They made two separate trades. They made two separate trades.
Brandon Marsh for Mickey Moniak.
Kind of weird, kind of strange.
Yeah, there's been a couple lateral moves I've seen, like just JD Davis for Darren Ruff. Like that's mostly a lateral move.
Yeah. JD Davis is Darren Ruff minus 7 years of age or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, oh hey, it's like a weird. You say like, oh, I'm one of the owners, and I got a right-handed batter that's disappointed but has shown flashes. Which one am I? It's the same guy. I'm describing both guys at the same time.
What's the deal with all these lateral moves?
I'd really like to know what the Jays gave up. I don't know how I'd feel if it was Pearson. You know, as a Jays fan, we've been conditioned for years to think of Pearson as a future star, but it doesn't look like it. It doesn't not look like it at this point.
I saw Pearson double-A. He was electric.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I've never seen him in person, but from what I've seen, you know, film-wise, he looked great, but he looks like a guy who's going to be plagued by injuries for his entire career. Can't be a starter. I don't think he can function. Yeah, you'd know better.
I kind of hope they trade him. They turn him into a closer because obviously fastball hits triple digits. That slider, I think, is a 70 grade slider. It's very, very good. So I could see him being a very good late inning reliever for sure.
You can get away with spotty command for one inning at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't for six innings. You can for one.
What do you think about this stuff, Frank? What do you think about the moves the Phillies have made here?
Nothing too crazy here. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, Noah Syndergaard, he's a streamer. He's pitching to contact this year. He's been fine, but in the right matchup, sure, you could throw him out there. It's obviously not a great ballpark to pitch in. Tough lineups going up against in the NL East. I did want to bring up, we kind of brushed over the Brandon Drury trade. He wound up with the Padres. Yep. And this season, he has massive home road splits. So in Great American Ballpark, 298 batting average, 915 OPS. On the road, 241, 771 OPS. So it seems like he's kind of penciled for the DH duties with the Padres. It is a much better lineup. There's no doubt about that. But the change of venue, I don't really love it for Brandon Drury.
Yeah, it's kind of
like they have a series in Cincinnati. Maybe they were planning for that. Hey, we're going to use Brandon Drury for this one series in Cincinnati. We're ready to rock.
I mean, and to be fair, a 770 OPS, like if he's that for the rest of the season, that's a heck of a year for him. True. Right, like compared to what you thought Brandon Drury was going to be.
Dude, look at that, Scott! Wow, that's okay.
There we go.
There's Eric. That's what you were saying. That's what some of the guys earlier on this show too were saying. What the heck are they doing? Jose Quintana is not enough for the Cardinals to go into a playoff run. So Jordan Montgomery's that's interesting to see what they gave up for this.
Do playoff contenders usually trade with each other this often? That's been really weird to me that like contending teams, like granted, it's usually been across leagues, but they're trading all. I mean, because the Astros traded to Atlanta, like, you know, you might see them again, right? Like, you trying to help them? But I think that was weird.
So apparently you'd think this was to make room for Pablo Lopez, but he's not going to the Yankees. Apparently Harrison Bader is the other piece going back to the Yankees there, but no Pablo Lopez deal is on the rise from what I'm seeing. The Mets do get Michael Givens from the Cubs in another trade here that has happened. Not the biggest of moves, just a little bit more depth there in the bullpen. I wonder what the Yankees
got Givens?
Have planned,
who got Givens? Who was that?
The Mets. The Mets got Givens.
Ah, crap. I was hoping I didn't think Givens would stay there for some reason, but it seemed like maybe he would. He was making $4.5 million, so I thought he would get traded. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Yankees' plan is here exactly. Are they that confident that Domingo Germán can be a guy for them down the stretch that they don't need Montgomery? I know Montgomery's gotten a bit of a bad rap, but his lineup has really just not been there for him this season. He's pitched a lot better than what you'd get from looking at his win total. I don't know. I don't know that this is really something that'll move the needle so much for the Cardinals. This feels like another Quintana kind of move, maybe a little bit better than Quintana, but I don't know. I'm not really sold on that, to be honest with you guys.
I mean, the Yankees only need three pitchers. They don't care. They don't care about 4 and 5 because they're only going to need three in October. So I guess they feel like, you know, they're going to get Severino back at some point, they hope. And you know, Montgomery becomes expendable and they get Bader, who I think, I mean, he's struggled with coming back from that injury in the sense of like, he's actually having a hard time getting healthy, but he's a good center fielder.
Yeah, absolutely is. Yeah.
Guys, I hate to do this, but we are approaching. Jesus, I can't find my words today. We are approaching the top of the hour, and I'm going to have to start to, unfortunately, kick you guys out. I wanted to give you a chance, though, to tell us all one more time about where we can find all your stuff. Let's start with you, Frank. Where can we find you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at @Roto_Frank, and you can listen to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, which comes out Monday through Friday. We also have a 5-minute podcast that's Monday through Saturday. That's Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. But yeah, all my work over at CBS Sports and on Twitter at @Roto_Frank.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I've heard of that show.
Let's go to you, Govier. Where can we find your stuff?
My name is Michael Govier. Follow me at MJ Govier on Twitter. GOV is in Victor, IER. Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs on Twitter. Follow that. You'll find everything you need to know. Patreon, Discord. We got a fun Discord going on in there. It's all free. You pop in there, talk about the trade deadline moves, talk about how pissed you are about everything or how happy you are about everything. And of course, just, you know, enjoy baseball and have a good life out there, everybody.
Let's hear from Scott. What do you do over there at Pitcher List?
Yeah, so I'm the senior hit. I'm a senior analyst at Pitcher List. I do all the hitting stuff, so Nick doesn't really know what I'm doing at any given time. It's really nice. That's how I stay under the radar there. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @ifthechu_fits. If the CHU fits. I do a lot of, you know, I write the hitter list that comes out every Wednesday. That's what I'm doing next after this. I'm writing the hitter list and doing a podcast. I also have the Hacks and Jacks podcast. I'm also recording that today. That'll be fun. But, you know, so that, you know, that's a lot of fun. And then I also twice a week do the First Pitch podcast for Pitcher List, which is our, you know, 15 to 20 minute recap of the day before, a couple picks for the current day. So that's most of the stuff I'm doing right now.
Eric, what about you, man?
Man, Scott, your evening sounds like my evening. Another couple podcasts, some writings. It's always fun, though. You can follow me on Twitter at @EricCross04. All my written work at Fantrax, a little bit of Fantasy Pros as well, and the Fantrax Toolshed podcast with Mr. Chris Clegg. And we have a Patreon as well, patreon.com/Fantrax Toolshed.
I want to thank all you guys for coming on. This has been a great panel. Getting to meet most of you guys for the first time. That guy in the top right corner, I know a little bit, but everybody else here, it's been really great to meet you. I'm going to have to unfortunately kick you guys out as we have our next group ready to go here. But
bye, everybody! Godspeed!
We'll be in touch, guys. Cheers.
See ya.